Welcome to Especially Organized, Sensible Solutions for Special Needs Moms, the podcast for all those busy moms out there who, like me, take care of kids who have a little something extra, and in the midst of all that extra, want to lead a more organized and present life. Whether your child has medical complexities, an intellectual disability, or neurodiversity, I am here for you. My name is Angela O'Brien, and I'm the parent of a 19-year-old daughter with Down syndrome. I know what it's like to have too much overwhelm and too little time when you're trying to manage all the pressures and responsibilities that come with a special needs child. Using my experience and skills as a professional organizer, each week I will bring information and encouragement to help you move through your clutter and reclaim what you deserve. So let's get started. All right. Well, I am so pleased to welcome Kristen Condon to the podcast today, to Especially Organize. It's so nice to see you and finally talk with you after just connecting with you via Instagram. Honestly, your Instagram posts and reels are so relatable to me. And I was like, I have got to get to know this woman. So I'm so pleased to have you come on the show. Would you please just give us a little bit of a bio and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you. I'm so honored to be here. And I've been equally admiring your Instagram and all that you're doing and listening to the podcast. So it's a mutual fan club. So yes, I am a single mom. I've got three kids. My son, my middle child is Matthew. He has Down syndrome and he's 19. And how I ended up where I am now is a little bit of a circuitous path, but I started out as a speech and language pathologist, wasn't loving it at the time. I was really loving working with the parents. That's who I just felt so passionate about working with. And so I ended up doing the Marie Kondo certification for decluttering.
Yay.
And I know, right? And it just, decluttering really changed my life. It really, truly did. I know it sounds so simple, but it is so transformative. Mm-hmm. And what I found when I was working with the moms that needed my help, there was more to it than the decluttering. There were other issues going on, and I really wanted to understand more about it. So I ended up going back and doing a life coaching training with Martha Beck, who also has a son with Down syndrome. And so I've just gone deeper into working with moms, and I really decided I'm going to work with moms who have kids with disabilities. I'm so passionate about disability caregivers knowing that they're more than a caregiver. There's mm-hmm. more to your life than being a caregiver. Yes, we are forever caregivers. It's a huge part of who we are, but there's so much more. And how do we live into that? And so a lot of that is managing our time. So mm-hmm. I work a lot with moms who are saying, I want more time to myself. I want to be able to help my child more. And I want to be able to give more to myself. And I just can't do it. I cannot seem to find the magical wand to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. You are just like speaking into my soul right now. I knew we were kindred spirits. Into decluttering. And I really, as you were talking, I was thinking you are like a time declutterer, like for parents of kids with special needs, right? Like that's what we're talking about. Calendar clutter, time clutter, and how we can let some of that go so that we can have that space and that freedom. And I just think you are really onto something. So okay, I would love to get into it if that's okay. I just think this is just going to be a fabulous conversation. So you talked about in our earlier discussion, some of the common themes or statements that you hear from moms like us about how they're managing their day, how they're managing their time. Can you share some of that? And I am going to guess that our listeners are going to relate to almost all of them, if not all of them.
Absolutely. Number one, if I ask any mom who has a child with a disability, what is your biggest challenge overall? Almost 90% will say, I don't have enough time. And then within that, the themes that I hear are I have trouble managing all of the details. I'm holding so much in my head, this mental load of caregiving, and I can't juggle all these balls in the air. It's just too much. I don't know how to do it. I also hear I don't have enough time for myself, and that if I do carve out a little time for myself, if anything happens, my needs are the first to go off the list. And I also hear a lot of pain around, oh, we're in the hospital, or oh, we just all got sick, or we just had a bunch of big appointments that just threw the schedule off. And I can't get my bearings again. I can't get my feet under me again. I feel behind. So that's another common complaint. And just that I've tried so many typical time management strategies, and they just don't seem to work for me. I hear that a lot too. And so then there's this feeling of shame, like there's something wrong with me. This works for other people. I just don't have it together, and there must be something wrong with me. And it just makes that shame so much, bigger. And then when we feel ashamed, we kind of contract. We don't want to reach out and get help and do anything about it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I mean, absolutely. And I think I liken it to like all of the other aspects, I think, of parenting, where I remember in elementary school, or when my kids were in elementary school, and I was trying to kind of fit in with a lot of the other moms of kids with typical, their kids were typical. And I was just trying to keep up and do all the social things and do this and do that. And I just was like, I can't do this. Like, this is not working for me. It was too overwhelming. And it's the same with our time. It can be the same with a lot of aspects of our life. So, yes.
Absolutely. And things that people don't think of, like, I mean, even now I'm on my to-do list is my son's got the prom. So we need to go, we need to go drive to the mall, and we need to go get a fitting. And that's going to take a lot of time. If he was a typical kid, maybe it'd be like, okay, here's the keys, here's the credit card, off you go. But now that's under my umbrella. That's another big thing. And it's a mental load, and it's a time. So it's just those little things that are just different for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm living that too. I mean, as with Casey, she's 20, and we've got prom coming up. I've got to go get the boutonniere. I've got to go do this and that. But there are other things too that just to entertain her, she doesn't have the ability to drive off to go see a friend. So it's up to me to plan anything that happens with regard to that, to make sure that she's not spending too much time on technology. And so, okay, well, what is she doing? Am I helping her with a project? Is she reading by herself? All of that. I have to think about all of that. And I didn't have to do that with my son by this time, and you're right, the mental load there is overwhelming and it's taxing the mental energy. It takes up time. Like it takes up our thinking time, and that we can't devote that time to other things. And
Right.
it's,
And it's like we get decision fatigue too, because we're
oh,
like, oh, okay,
yes.
well, what are we going to do now? And then,
Yeah, exactly.
awesome.
Exactly. It's
And we've
overwhelming.
been doing it for so long. Most moms have that stage. It's a shorter stage. They had it again with COVID. There was sort of a reliving of that. If you had older kids, you kind of had to recreate everything again. But it's sort of time limited. But for us,
It's ongoing.
it's ongoing, it's forever.
And there's no necessarily an end in sight, right?
No,
Hopefully. I mean, in
right,
some ways,
exactly.
right?
Right. Well, and that's the other
Right.
piece of it for me is the other thing I think we all hear, the biggest fear is what happens to our child when we're gone. And so I see the stress we're all carrying with this, the burnout and how much we're doing and the time. And so that hurts our health. That means we're not going to live as well or as long. And I know how much all of us want to live well and long to be there for our children and their siblings, to support their siblings and taking care of them well. So that's another, main reason why I think this is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do think about that because I have back issues. I've got a fair amount of arthritis, and I think to myself, if I don't take care of myself and my health, my well-being, and my mental health, I will not be there for my daughter later on. I will not be able to help get her shoes on or help do certain things, help enjoy things with her, go do things, with her. And that's a motivator, but it is, I've had to work at that. I've had to work at that mindset that, oh, that is important. And I've also had periods of time where I have been unable to walk, do anything. And so those are really good reminders when your physical health deteriorates and you can't do those things. So those have been good reminders, but we don't want people to have those strong reminders, right?
Exactly.
To know that they need to spend time on their own well-being. So for those moms who you say, I've tried all the tips and the tricks, like it doesn't seem to work for me. What advice would you give them today?
Absolutely. So I think it always starts with what's going on inside of us. And I think sometimes we jump right to the planner or the strategy or the storage container, whatever it is, these sort of external things to fix the problem. But it starts on the inside. So I always start there. So, and it can be as simple as, when you grew up, what were the messages around being productive or being lazy or being a good mom? What were those downloads that you got about what it means to be a good mom? Is she always busy? Is she always doing things? Is she always self-sacrificing? So really examining, what are those little beliefs inside that maybe you've never even thought about, and how are they running the show right now and maybe running you ragged? And so that's a piece of it. And also, how do you want to feel every day? What is the goal? Why do this? How do you want to feel? It's kind of, I'm sure you ask your clients when they're doing an organizing project, how do you want to feel when you walk in your home? And then you can always go back to that. When you sort of lose your way, there's always this, oh, right, I want to feel creative every day. I want to feel strong. Whatever it might be. And really tapping into how do you want to feel? And then using that as your guide. And then after that, it is the big declutter. I think it's so important. You're right. And usually starting with the brain dump. We had talked about that earlier. And, getting it all out. We're not meant to hold it all up in here. Our brain was not designed to do that at all. And it creates this sort of sense of confusion and mental clutter. So get it all out. Write every single thing down on a piece of paper. And then I use a tool that I learned with Martha Beck. It's called the 3 B's. And you take all of your to-dos and you go through them. The first one is bag it. Can you just not do it? Can you get rid of it? The second one is to barter it. So either asking somebody else to do it, hiring somebody else to do it. And then what can you better? Because we can always make something a little better. Maybe you don't want to clean the house, but hey, listen to your favorite podcast. Do something to make it better. It's empowering. It'll go faster. It'll just feel better if you can do that. So taking all of that stuff that comes out and then taking it through those 3 B's, the bag, barter, and better. Because I think we're also behind all of that is we're expecting ourselves to do way too much. And that kind of goes back to that, what do you think a good mom is? We're just expecting ourselves to be the superhero and, the super mom. And it's just, we're humans. We're humans with limits, with bad backs and, needs,
Tempers.
yeah, tempers, our own interests and desires. So
Exactly.
really kind of realizing, okay, I cannot do all this. Cannot. And then really seeing what you can offload, what you can say no to. And then if something is like, nope, this is in alignment, this is important for me, yet maybe I don't really enjoy doing it. I do like having a clean house, but I don't really want to do it. How do you make it better? Because that will give you energy too.
Absolutely. And I think that's especially hard because society is still telling moms of kids with disabilities, Oh, I don't know how you do it. You're such a super mom. You're just, you know, I could never do that. And so that leaves us feeling like, well, I got to keep going. Everybody thinks I'm like this. I should be like this, right? And so that just makes things harder for us, I think.
It does. It just makes that expectation even worse. Absolutely. Totally. And then I think it's just so important to create systems too, that, things that you can automate, because again, that decision fatigue is just so much. And if you can, create anything, if it's just the cat litter that gets delivered on the Amazon subscription, so you don't have to run to Walmart for that. I mean, it's just gonna be the smallest things, but they can make such a difference to free up your mind, free up your time, and it just helps you relax.
Yeah, 100%. I am all about, especially when I work with moms of kids who have either a lot of kids or just they have like a big household that has a lot going on, or they have kids with high needs. You have to automate as much as you can because it's just literally impossible for you to do it all. And so having those systems in place, and sometimes that includes organizing, decluttering, whatever. But it's also on the calendar. How can you automate those things so your brain isn't on 1,000% of the time?
Right, absolutely. Or even just reminders on the phone about, oh, it's time to make that cardiology appointment, and with the little note, oh, do you have the make the referral? Did you all those little details? If they're swirling around up in our head, it's gonna be like a drag, right? It's like a ballast, like, ugh, and if it can just be captured somewhere that you don't have to keep thinking about it, it's just gold.
I do that all the time. In fact, last night, my husband works Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at an offsite office at another office, not here. And he was like, "Hey, can you do something for me in the kitchen, tomorrow morning?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm setting an alarm right now because otherwise I'll forget it. Like, there's no way." And he looked at me kind of funny, and I'm like, "There's no way I'm going to remember that, like, unless I
I
have it
don't
right here
want
on
to
the phone." And
remember.
exactly, I don't want to remember. I don't
Want to
want to
waste my
remember.
resources on that. That's what alarms are for, right?
Exactly. Oh my gosh, I use them all the time. I use them all the time. That's great. That's awesome. Okay, well, so let's get into kind of some of the particulars, some of the seasons that we go through, some of the big things that we have to deal with. I like to call it when we're in a season. We have like a hospitalization, or we have, a lot of us are, the family is sick, or we have just something happen where just we have something going on in the family where we're just like things are messed up. Like the schedule is not on and we don't have our routines in place. How do you help moms cope in those situations?
I think in those situations, which are more common, I think, for us, and it's just so unpredictable, a lot of it is about adjusting expectations. I wish I had a magic fix, but I think a lot of it is adjusting the expectations. Someone used this phrase the other day, and I thought it was so perfect. They said, we don't get compassion fatigue, we get control fatigue. And meaning, I think when the unexpected happens, we want control, right? We want to those routines, and they're control for us to a degree about what's happening around us. And when these big crises happen out, we don't have control,
Yeah, it goes out the
and
window.
it's out the window. And that's part of what's so destabilizing is, and we try to grab back control by trying to force the routine, or trying to get back to that, but if we can let go of that to a degree, it feels so much lighter, so much easier. And, meditation, any sort of spiritual practice, whatever works for you in terms of working with that need for control. In terms of details with those unexpecteds, I think we almost need like two different types of schedules or routines. One is sort of the everyday, and then there's the, oh my goodness, it's all hell is breaking loose. So There's just certain things that we don't do. Okay, maybe you don't vacuum that week, or maybe, everything is takeout, or it's Trader Joe's, frozen foods for the week. Whatever it is that's going to make it easier, do it. And it's not going to be forever. You just sort of realize, okay, this is just for a short period of time. And whatever is not necessary just has to go. And that's okay. To give yourself permission to do that. Because you're human. Again, back to that. I'm human. I can only do so much. And really asking for help. People want to help. They really do, but
They
they
do.
don't know what to do. And if you can really think of something specific, hey, can you pick up so and so at soccer practice or whatever it might be? People want to help. And we get so hyper independent, I think, as moms of kids with disabilities. We feel like we're the only ones who can do it. And well, I'm the only one who knows. And it's a recipe for burnout.
That makes me think of two things. One, in an earlier episode, I was speaking with Kara Risk of the Special Needs Mom podcast, and she was talking about the importance of we all are trying to find our community of other special needs moms, right? But also seeking out relationships of those who don't have special needs, who have a little more bandwidth, and letting them in, being vulnerable, finding someone that you trust that is willing to come in and understand and start to understand what you're going through. And so that in those crazy, the wheels have fallen off times, they can swoop in a little bit and they can, oh yeah, I know you need this at this time. I can help with that, and I do think that I thought that was really insightful of her to say that. I'm like, oh yeah, that does, I do need to let some other people in, not just other special needs moms. And then the other thing I thought too was that I don't know if you ever heard of the she's on Instagram. I think she's writing a book called Casey Davis, and she did a TED Talk on struggle care. And it was when you are struggling, when you're having a mental health episode, when you are in a season like that where everything is falling off the rails. She said there are five things you can do, and this is specifically to organizing, like, or just to keeping house, honestly. And it was deal with the trash. And if you can deal with the trash, then deal with the dishes. If you can deal with the dishes, then you deal with the laundry. And then if you can get through all those, but if you can't, those are the first things you tackle: trash, dishes, laundry, and then it's things that have a place, and then things that don't have a place. And I thought that was a really helpful kind of framework for if you are, in one of those seasons, but you're like, oh my gosh, my house is a mess. Just in terms of like your physical space, you could at least tackle it in that way so that you are at least getting like the very necessary things done.
Absolutely. And I think too, even like being proactive and having maybe you have like a special bag that's kind of ready to go, or a little care package for yourself when you're in the hospital overnight that kind of keeps you grounded, whether it's like a little lavender oil or whatever it might be, just little anchors to keep you grounded and remind yourself who you are.
Oh, that's really good. Because I think we need those, especially if you are spending a lot of time in a hospital or somewhere else where you are just like, oh man, it's your mental health can take a toll, and even if it's not with your own family, your own child. My aunt was really sick this time last year in May, and I was spending 12 hours a day at the hospital for a couple of weeks, and it was mentally hard, and like something like that would have been really helpful, I think, but you don't know what's going to come up. You don't know when and why those seasons are going to happen. You just they do happen to all of us at some point or another. So you're right, having a little something, a little preparation, a little forethought before that happens, just to help. get you through, I think, get you through to the other side. That's really what you're, that's my goal in those times.
Right. And just know that it won't always be this way.
Right.
It will not.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Vacations and school breaks. Those are tough.
They are tough. We're in one right now.
Are you?
Yes. I think, again, it comes back to adjusting expectations. But I think, again, you could have almost a separate routine. And I think little anchors work so well, or they always did for us. Just maybe in the morning, you plan, there's a little something you plan. You know, it could be something really small, like we're just going out for breakfast. And then in the afternoon, maybe there's something else that you plan. There's just a couple of anchors to the day to give it a little bit of shape. So, I mean, I can just remember when they were really little. I mean, they would get up so early. I mean, it would be 10 o'clock in the morning and it felt like 5 p.m. It was just unbelievable how on earth we were going to get through this day and then do it again for another, 7 days. But I think having those little anchors makes such a difference. And again, I think you need to just let go of, some of it's just not going to get done that week. And that is okay. Again, it goes back to that being a good mom, or, we have these ideas that, we need the perfect house and we need to be doing this and we need to have, the organic meal prepared and all this stuff. And it's just sometimes not realistic. And to let that go. And I think having quiet time, making sure you have some quiet time during those school weeks, whether, everybody has a little moment in their room and you get a little quiet time to get yourself grounded again, really can help you manage your time better. Not feel so chaotic.
Personal time. That's what we call it in our house.
Yes.
Versus family time,
Right.
personal time. It is now
Right.
personal time. We all get to go relax and I don't know about you, but I and we've talked a little bit about the Enneagram, but I as an Enneagram 9, I don't have a ton of energy, especially relative to 9s have the least amount of energy of all the numbers, all the personalities, and I feel that in my bones. I see things that I want to do. I see other people doing, five activities with their kids in a day, and I think literally one is enough for me. That's all I can manage. I need to have some downtime, and so learning that about myself and just acknowledging that I'm not going to be the mom that's going to go out and do 5 activities in a day with my daughter. There's just no way that's going to happen. Or if it is, then I'm going to be a mess the next day. I'm just going to be on my back, So just knowing that about myself. So I just want moms out there, if they feel like they don't have a ton of energy, to know like you don't have to plan every single second. And
No, no. And I think especially for our kids, it's too much for them too.
Yeah, yes.
I think over scheduling is often, it comes from that guilt, but I think it's very common, and our kids often need more downtime, not too many stimulating activities, and have enough time to just, not be scheduled. And they work so hard in school. It's not easy when you have a disability and to be in the school setting and have all those expectations and, to be working so hard. They need that downtime on vacation.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Okay. All right. And then finally, I want to talk about self-care and our own well-being. How can we start to prioritize that for ourselves? What suggestions do you have?
It's a really good question. And it's funny, I feel like self-care has gotten sort of like it's a dirty word now. I hear a lot of people find when they hear it, they're frustrated. And I think why they're frustrated is because it feels like another thing to do. And so, how do we make it not something else you have to do, but maybe it's something that you get to do and something that you look forward to? And I think a lot of it too comes down to boundaries, because again, if everybody else's needs are going to encroach on our time unless we guard our own time really strongly. And the way to do that is with boundaries. And I think for us, when we're again given that message, oh, you're such a great mom because you give so much, and you're a super mom. You do this and you do that. No one's telling you, oh, what a great mom you are. You took a nap. No one's saying you're the best mom. You did X, Y, or Z for yourself. People aren't shouting that from the rooftops telling you you're the self-care superhero. So, we really have to kind of claim it for ourselves, and we do that through boundaries. And I think what we always focus on, well, what is the boundary I'm going to make? But I think the hardest part about boundaries is once you've made them, that feeling of, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And
Oh, I 100%.
it's the boundary hangover is the problem. It's like this, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then we feel bad and we're a bad person and we're a bad mom. We shouldn't have done that. And I always say that's the part, that's where we need to focus our energy on when we're talking about boundaries is how are you going to manage that? Uh-oh, I shouldn't have done that feeling. And it does go back to that. What is important to you, that your needs matter. They not only matter for you as a caregiver, because in order to continue caregiving, we have to be well. We just simply have to. It's non-negotiable, but that we are more than that caregiver. We deserve to have our own vibrant life that's our own. We deserve that to have an interest to learn how to watercolor or do whatever it might be that we want to do for ourselves. We deserve that. And I think when we can come back to that and remind ourselves that we do deserve to have that, it can make it easier to tolerate that discomfort of making that boundary. And just noticing, I mean, there's a great little life coachy trick where you just simply notice that you're feeling a certain way, because we can get so blended with that, right? Like, oh my God, I shouldn't have done that. But if you can step back a little bit and you just simply insert the phrase, I notice that I'm feeling really guilty for,
Setting
not
a
to
boundary.
that party, and staying home by myself. I notice that I'm feeling X, Y, or Z. And it seems really small, but it just gives you a little bit of perspective. It pulls you away just a little bit from being really blended with that thought that's kind of running your show, and just pulls you away from it a little bit. And then you'll go, oh, okay. And then next time it'll be just a little bit easier and a little bit easier. It's a muscle.
And I think that it's not going to happen overnight, right? It
No.
takes a long time to shift our mindset so that we recognize, oh, I don't need to feel guilty about this, about setting this boundary, about not doing XYZ because I needed I needed to take a nap, quite honestly, or whatever it is. But I think that can take a while. I remember I was worked with a health coach for a couple years, and we did a lot of mindset work. And she kept talking about, having the identity of a healthy person. And I was like, I don't feel like I do at the beginning. But
Right.
it's, now I'm 3, 4 years out, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. Like it just took a while. It just took tiny baby steps every single day. Just tiny consistent steps. And it doesn't have to be consistent, but persistent steps. You just keep trying. You keep,
Yes.
so you fall, you get back up. You keep trying and you keep noticing. You keep doing the work. And your mind does shift. Your
It
mindset
does.
does shift.
It truly does. And I think too, having other people around you who are working on the same focus, that can really help. Just having that community of people around you to bounce ideas off of, or talk about those feelings of discomfort of putting, a boundary in, and for them to help you when you're feeling like, oh, kind of losing your way a little bit.
Absolutely. I think that's huge. That can really, really help. Just solidarity, to know you're not alone and that you are on the right track.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love this. Oh my gosh, this is just right up my alley. I just love all of this. And I'm going to take some of these and use them myself because I have been feeling really overwhelmed with everything in life right now. So, yeah, I'm here for all of it. All
Great, that's awesome.
right, well, where can our listeners find you, Kristen?
Sure. I think probably the easiest place is on Instagram at Kristen Condon, and you can, tap the link in there and find all of my things. I have a Facebook group for moms of kids with disabilities, and you can find all sorts of great tips on my Instagram as well. So.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll put that in the show notes for sure. And then the final question that I like to ask all of my guests, because I believe organizing is a way to reclaim what it is that we need in our lives. So, is there anything that you are trying to reclaim these days?
That's such a great question. And you know what comes to mind, and I was talking to a girlfriend about it the other day, is I want to reclaim fun.
Oh,
Because
awesome.
we can get so serious as caregivers of people with disabilities. It can feel kind of heavy sometimes. And we were talking about it, and just really, we need more fun. Like more spontaneous fun. And summer's here, and so we're gonna go get our little backpack beach chairs, and we're gonna have the summer of fun somehow.
Oh,
And
that's
it's gonna
awesome.
look like, but that's what we're gonna reclaim.
I love it. I love it. And remind me where you're located again, about where you're located.
Yeah, Cape Cod.
Cape Cod. Oh, yes.
Beautiful
So you
beaches.
really do get to enjoy that. Oh, I'm constantly searching for a beach here.
Yes, you'll come here. We've got lots of them.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Oh, well, thank you, Kristen. This has just been so helpful to me, and I'm sure it will be to our listeners. I really appreciate all of your insight and your knowledge and your wisdom. So, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you liked what you heard, please consider liking, sharing, following this show so that other special needs moms can find it too. Just hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And while you're there, please feel free to leave a review. I would love to hear your thoughts on this podcast so that I can keep improving and so that other special needs moms can find it too and start to reclaim what they need in their life. Thanks again.